ago, we were delighted to be able to do our usual annual coverage of the Equitrek Bramham International Horse Trials, and one of the fabulous folk we actually met there was connected with the equally fabulous organisation BETA, the British Equestrian Trade Association, which is packed full of all sorts of things, indeed working for riders, retailers and suppliers, in many ways a one-stop shop for folk interested in equine activities and so on. We're delighted to be able to welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition the fabulous Chief Exec of BETA, that would of course be the wonderful Claire Williams. How are you, Claire?
Good morning, Alex. Very well, thank you.
Good to connect with your good self, and it's good in more ways than one, given our sort of attempt last week where we had a little bit of a challenge there. Anyway,
quite.
It all works well for the end. We've just been speaking to Minty Steed, who is one of our roving reporters, also a paraplegic in a wheelchair. She's been talking, in fact, she's testing out on our behalf a whole range of race courses from Thirst, Newcastle, Doncaster, and so on, with respect to facilities from that perspective. From BETA's perspective, as an organisation that supports the industry for over 30 years, it does seem as though what you've got here is literally everything for anybody who's got any interest whatsoever in owning, keeping a horse, from the sort of the person who just fancies doing some hacking over a weekend to the genuine eventing things, obviously right the way through to point-to-point, national steeplechase and others, it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're a business organisation, so we're there to look after the companies that are members. But, of course, what's really important to us to look after the entire industry and all types of riders and owners, because they're the ones that put, you know, that go out and buy the things from my members. So that's why we've got a two-sided interest. We're keen to support our members and the trade, but also we're very keen to support riders and riding, because the more people who ride, the more customers my members will have.
There's a wonderful T-shirt that we saw at the Equitrek Bramham Trials. Indeed, we put a Facebook link to it, which ties in with our assistant manager here at Siren FM, which is, of course, Ed Wellman. And it's the Ask Ed question, which I think is wonderful. And you've got an Ask Ed feature, actually, as a link on the BETA website, plus, of course, the National Equestrian Panel, chance to speak about views and opinions about horse owning and riding and so on. It would seem as though if you're even contemplating actually sort of looking at this, it would make sense to go to BETA just to sort of see what sort of things are actually out there. Because there are, as we've said when we spoke at Bramham, Claire, an awful lot of changes. I mean, what was deemed to be perfectly acceptable and safe 30, 40 years ago, that's changed.
Hugely, and in so many ways. I mean, safety is a big focus of what we do. So, you know, if anybody's interested in finding more about safety, whether it's safety on a horse, safety around a horse, or safe feeding, then, you know, BETA is where you can go. The website is where you can go to find out more about that. But, yeah, safety has developed hugely from, you know, when we first started making body protectors in the 80s. They were nothing, quite frankly, more than a piece of foam shoved down your shirt at the back. And now they're highly technical garments that are made to a specific standard, that have to be tested regularly to offer that level of safety to ensure that riders can go out there and do what they want to do in a safe way.
From the business perspective, I'm really interested in the building of the Franco-British business potential, because clearly our colleagues over the channel have got an interest in equine matters as well, and quite rightly so. And this interesting line in which BETA's joining UK partners, United Kingdom Trade and Investment, and the Equestrian Index, and of course French partners, Calvados Stratégie France Galop, Hippola, to actually connect with that, which can only be good in terms of getting a kind of... Well, I suppose maybe a uniformity around this. I mean, is this something which we can also roll out to our colleagues in America and beyond?
Yes, I mean, export is a lot of what BETA does, because for so many companies, exporting is key to their entire business success. And strangely enough, although France is our closest market, it is one of the most challenging to get into. And so that's why we've joined up with UK Trade and Investment to try and offer some advice and some knowledge about the marketplace. And there's a meeting happening next week, actually, in France, in Deauville-en-Caen, where interested British companies will be meeting with interested or potentially interested French partners. And we do similar in other markets. We do it in Australia, in China, in Germany, in Sweden, and in America, to try and open up those opportunities for companies that they can then build on. But you know, the continent is, in its entirety, a really key market, because it is so close. And so many of the markets mirror the British market, so it's an easier effort benefit for a company putting their toe in the water of export for the first time.
It's difficult to conceive now that 100 or so years ago, when the horseless carriages and the automobiles started coming onto the streets and so on, people were predicting the demise of the horse. It was not going to be used at all, and obviously mechanisation was going to take over, and farmland would no longer actually need to have horses ploughing the fields and so on. There is a relationship between humanity and horses that really, I think, it's there for all time in many ways. I mean, we need each other.
Yeah, and there is a very close bond. And yes, from an industrial point of view, the horse did go into decline. But then, of course, as the economy developed and we all got more leisure time, we wanted something to do with that leisure time. And that's when the horse has come back into its own. And you know, riding horses and owning horses is much more than just getting on their back and riding. It's the whole experience of being with horses, looking after them. And that's a really key part of the whole horse riding experience. Is the time you spend with the horse, and you know, you can waste an awful lot of time just looking at your horse out in the field.
Exactly so. It's not so much wasting time, it's contemplating reality and the whole essence of life. That's the key thing.
And a very beautiful British countryside that we have up here in Yorkshire.
Claire, you see, this is one of the sort of aspects why clearly you could charm all sorts of wonderful connections from the business world, etc., because it's your New Zealand aspect that comes across there in every sense of the word. And you've got to share with us, how does a New Zealand girl end up actually being chief exec of the British Equestrian Trade Association?
Well, I suppose you could say I'm returning to my roots, because my mother, well, both my parents are British, but my mother's from County Durham originally, from Darlington. And my father was in the army and was based at Catrick Camp, where one of my brothers was born. So they immigrated to New Zealand in the 50s, fortunately for us all, I think, at the time. And I was born there and then went through university and did a degree in modern languages and history, and then went to work in export for a New Zealand body. And then one of my client companies said, why don't you go to Germany and work for us? So I did. And then after 10 years in Germany, I saw an ad for Beta and thought, finally, an opportunity to combine my hobby and my love of horses with my working life. And so that's how I ended up here.
Best way forward in every sense of the word. Did you get a chance to catch most of the action at the Equitrek Bramham International Horse Trials, or was it a case of, no, I had far too much to actually do with respect to looking after the trade stand alone?
Unfortunately, I didn't see a lot of it, though we had a fantastic location at the show, which was overlooking the main arena. So we got to see bits of the dressage, and obviously we watched the show jumping, and we did get out on the cross-country course to look at our jump, which we had designed new by the very good people at Bramham, and David Evans, who does the jump design, and Ian Stark, who does the course design. So I did see a bit of it, but not as much as I used to see when I used to go as a punter, which is one of the downsides, I suppose, of working in the industry. But we saw enough to really enjoy it, and we always enjoy Bramham. It's a fantastic event.
Absolutely. Always has to get a thumbs up, and it's interesting. It's a four-star event, but I mean, clearly, I think it compares extraordinarily well with both badminton and burley in terms of the five stars. I haven't ever managed to have a chance to wing over to Kentucky, but one of these days I'm sure we'll do that. I'm sure that would connect to that.
Kentucky is wonderful. And then we've got another event. We also sponsor GATCOM, which is the Festival of British Eventing, where they have the national championships, and that happens at the beginning of August. So we are presenting sponsor of GATCOM as well. So we're hugely looking forward, because GATCOM and Bramham are perfect for us. We reach, you know, the audience that tends to go to those events is a really horsey audience, so it's brilliant for us.
Claire, it's been fantastic just touching base with yourself today. A reminder that people can obviously go to the British Equestrian Trade Association website. It's the usual three W's, beta-uk.org, so relatively straightforward. Just think of the old VHS tape thing. Probably people wondering, what are you talking about? Tape, VHS, it's unbelievable. Beta-uk.org, and you can access the details from there. We've got two final questions for your good self. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition? Has it been okay for you, Claire?
It's been wonderful. Lovely to speak to you again.
So the next critical question is, can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again, probably just before GATCOM, or at least touching base on that, and sort of continue to celebrate the best of Beta's work and all the exciting things you're involved with?
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be lovely.
Claire Williams, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you very much. Bye.
And with those immortal words, food snobbery is dead. It has made patsies of all of us for far too long. A decade ago, you were nobody if your pork wasn't rare breed, your chicken wasn't organic, and your carrots were knobbly and heirloom. We are delighted to welcome back to the show, for the usual 9:30 slot, the ace culinary genius that is William Sitwell. How are you, William?
Yeah, good morning. Very well, thank you.
So, as I said on the Facebook comment, well, that's our discussion for 9:30 today sorted out then, in terms of topics. And we are talking about food snobbery in an article which is put together there, The Demise of the Food Snob, How We Fell Out of Love with Farmers Markets.
Yeah, that was right. You know, let me tell you a little secret behind this. So, The Times published this piece on Tuesday, an assault on farmers' markets.
Yes.
I was actually walking through the Northamptonshire town of Brackley at the time, and when I got a call from the man at the Times, and he said, "What do you think about farmers' markets?" I said, "I love them." He said, "Oh, I'm running a piece attacking them." I said, "Okay, I hate them. You know, I like to be amenable."
Well, you see, exactly. You know, and that's probably what the Uruguayan Prime Minister and President was actually saying when he just thought that Luis Suarez wasn't actually employed for his etiquette skills. But never mind.
Yeah. But the point here is actually that, you know, people go to farmers' markets partly because they are sort of food hobbyists, and they think that if they patronise these people and buy their lovely breads and their cheeses, that actually they might encourage Britain to have a bit more of a food culture. But the problem is we're so far down the line of the world of supermarkets that it's pretty difficult, really, to drag ourselves back. And the other thing is, you know, during the Industrial Revolution, Britain sort of lost its peasant culture, which some people would probably think is a good thing. But actually, unlike a lot of countries in Europe, which retained it, and it meant that people were much more in touch with the land, and that markets, seasonal markets, weekly, fortnightly markets continued. Whereas in this country, people moved to the cities, we stopped preserving, we stopped making jam, we lost the kind of roots of food culture. And it's one of the reasons why you don't have regular markets, and food markets are more a reflection of a sort of British middle class, foodie, aspirational kind of hobby rather than a practical. You know, you can't really do your weekly shop in a food in a farmer's market. The other problem is that there are quite a lot of stallholders in farmer's markets, I won't mention them, who aren't really farmers. You know, so farmer's markets are actually selling produce that's quite expensive. So you get taken in by, you know, the fabrication of it, and you end up spending far too much money. So that was really the reason for this assault on farmers' markets. But, yeah, there are still some good guys out there, obviously.
Exactly, and we like to feel that we met up with some of them at the Lincolnshire Show last week, and obviously the Great Yorkshire Show coming up, we'll do that as well. So great stuff there. Ed Wellman is in the studio. He has joined us. Ed, your thoughts on farmers' markets?
Well, funny you should mention that, Alex, because a couple of weekends ago I went to a farmers' market, but not in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And what I bought the ingredients of a casserole there. And I would say it probably cost me £4, £5 more than it would have done in a supermarket. It did taste very good, but the problem was that I wasn't really savvy to what was going on. And the guy picked out four of the onions for me himself.
Oh.
And when I got home, three of them were rotten, which was very bad.
William, this sounds as though there we are. It's just
well, you know, Ed Wellman, as ever, he's living the life that I'm trying to describe. He's experiencing these things. He's making it all make sense. But, yeah, absolutely. It does happen. You're getting sold a pup. You're sold the whole romance of it all, and you end up actually paying for it. And this is the problem, because you know, supermarkets can now produce and sell food at such good value, and we can rely on them for the hygiene, health and safety issues and so on. So it does make it pretty hard for farmers' markets to compete. You know, if people expect things to be cheap these days, we don't really pay a real price for food, do we? So it is hard.
If we did, heaven only knows what would happen with respect to real prices and so on. We'd be in all sorts of challenging for that side of things. However, what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, William? Is it a case of you're just chilling out now, enjoying the glorious summer sunshine that we actually have?
Well, as I speak to you today, I'm actually walking around the Masterpiece exhibition in London, where you've got a collection of some of the world's greatest galleries, from antiquarian bookstores in New York to Milanese fine art galleries to the best carpenter's workshops around the world to clock stores from Winchester and so on. So it's a pretty impressive place. I'm here listening to a debate about how you define masterpiece, the expression masterpiece. And just as you rang, David Linley was on his feet talking about the chair that they have designed and that is on show at Masterpiece.
But surely, William, you should have perked up straight away and said, surely the Midweek Drive Morning Edition is a masterpiece every time I'm on it.
Yeah, you're right. It was an opportunity. Yeah, I've done that.
Exactly. Well, it's never too late. We could always work on that basis. Meanwhile, it is time for Ed Wellman, who's about to take over the reins here whilst I go off to a research symposium to talk about a variety of other aspects. Ed, would you like to actually launch those last two questions for William at his master class?
Quick question, William. I was down in the Southeast Riviera myself yesterday, and it was terribly humid, and it isn't up here. What's the humidity like today? I just need to know these things.
Because
it was
fresh.
Was it me yesterday, or was it actually humid?
It's you. Well, I was in Manchester yesterday, but I can just tell you that London is fresh, bright and sunny.
Oh, stop. Please stop there. I just don't want to be tempted anymore.
It's possibly a hot flush or something.
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was the excitement of going down south. William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
I think as reasonable as you can hope.
No rotten onions here. Can we look forward to connecting with you again very soon?
I think so.
Hey.
Good man.
Sometimes